RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rad Boys and Girls, your weekly sideways look at the news with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains, Lee Banks in the UK, Mark Gander suffering France, and we must say hello to the audience of Replay Radio and to Talk Radio X and the lovely people on Audio Boo and the nice RTIs as well. We'll move along quickly to a hard-up couple selling the letter that President Obama sent them for $7,000, which is about £4,500. Apparently this letter to Jennifer Klein saying things will get better has now been sold, and they got $7,000 for it.
I know. Well, it's a good time to sell it because it ain't going to be worth much in a few weeks, is it?
What? I don't know.
Well, it's a bit of a bummer for Bart Obama, isn't it?
Yeah, he did get a bit of hammering this week, didn't he?
I know, really bad. Yeah. I'll tell you what, one of the funniest things I've heard is that the circus clowns have turned against him.
Oh, we'll come to that later. But anyway, so on your thingy, do you actually think that this letter will go up in value, Mr. Banks, or down?
It will, hysterically. I'll tell you what will happen. This is absolutely what will happen. Within the next few weeks, a few months maybe, even a couple of years, that letter will go down in value. Mm. But historically, it will go up in value. And the sad thing is, one reason it will go up in value is because it shows Obama's total insensitivity.
Oh.
What? Things will keep getting better. You said that to a woman who just written to him saying that she's lost her job and she's got skin cancer. He says, don't worry, duck. It'll all get better.
Okay.
That's why he's not having a good time now.
All right, moving along. This gets me to the core of my bones, this sort of stuff. Next month we'll see a new album of Michael Jackson songs going on sale, entitled Michael. It will contain tracks that that Jackson was working on before his death in June 2009, which posthumously have been completed. Now, at the time, Michael Jackson was working with Will.i.am, Akon, Neo, and various other people. And Will.i.am actually said earlier this year that he thought it was disrespectful to release the unfinished material because Jackson was not there to actually give it his blessing. And I have to say, this is a joke, isn't it? This is a money machine.
It is. It's what, you know, I think it's an insult to the world to release anything by Michael Jackson after the reputation that he built up for himself.
Oh, so when Bob Dylan dies, that's it then, no more Bob Dylan albums?
He's not been doing what thing he did he? He's done nothing like that. Why didn't Michael do No More Monkey Business from Beyond the Grave, I tell you?
Mm.
But Bob Dylan did nothing wrong. Michael Jackson lived a very suspect life.
Whatever. Okay, I just think it's a terrible... I think it's just really bad for all the fans, and apparently some of the fan groups are really fed up with it, and
But Elvis's career wouldn't be in existence anymore if he didn't do this.
Well, what's wrong with that?
What? No Elvis in the world.
No, what's wrong with that?
No Elvis, just Michael Jackson and his monkey.
Well, no, what? You know, he's done his stuff, he's finished, he's curled up his toes, good night, bye-bye, dovidenia, done.
Because people love him. Would you say that John Wayne films should never be shown again?
Well, I can't think that I'd actually go to a cinema to watch one.
Ah, wow, man, I was watching one two nights ago. I love John Wayne.
Bleep,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what about Alan Delon, then, for Mark?
Bleep.
Who? Who?
Who's Alan Delon?
Oh, you big philistine.
He's looking to...
Go on, stand over there with Eric in the philistine's corner.
Yes, the one.
Come on, so it's an avodja Ferdinand.
Apparently...
Yeah, you can speak French, you don't know.
Shush. Apparently some council workers in the Breckland Council are going to be in trouble. I'd like to hear a comment from both of you on this one. Which is in Norfolk, which is on the east side of the UK, will no longer be able to nip outside quickly for a ciggy break, or as a smoko, as they call it in Australia. Council leader William Nunn, who clearly doesn't smoke, said the policy formalised an agreement made in consultation with the staff. Yeah, right. And he added that our flexible working system allows smokers to take smoking breaks without affecting the amount of time spent working, and this brings fairness to all. What? So if you want to nip out for a glass of water and I want to nip out for a ciggy, mine's wrong and yours is right. So apparently what's got to happen is people have got to clock out to actually go and have a cigarette.
Why should people who smoke cigarettes have extra breaks than people who don't smoke cigarettes?
What happens if you have to drink lots of water?
Then you can keep going for lots of ablutings and have your water while you're there.
You can drink water at your desk and it doesn't affect anybody else. I mean, the problem is that when you're smoking,
come
you've got all the past
Thurstein's
smokers. Corner.
Come over here.
Yeah, well, I am over with you. I think that everything you can do to smash smoking and to smash the hole that these hugely rich tobacco companies have over
poisonous
people and the money that they have to pay, I think good.
Poisoners and murderers.
Well, I think it is.
I'll tell you, here's a true example. It's too good for people who make cigarettes. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What would you like? A last cigarette? Yeah. Here's a true example of what happened to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was working at a daily newspaper, we had a smoking room, right? And all the smokers, this was before you had to smoke outside, lit for the streets and ruin the air for everybody,
yeah,
right? You had a smoking room within the office, and all the smokers used to go in there. Now, they would be going in there every 20 minutes, a half hour, for a couple of minutes, 5 minutes, to have a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hang on, I'm not addicted to tobacco,
mm-hmm,
but I tell you what, I am an alcoholic, so every 20 minutes, I want a break to go out and have a beer, and they wouldn't let me.
So, I'm coming to the thrust of this bit in a minute. If it is that having a ciggy,
I can hear you perfectly now.
Gosh,
like the old times.
Gosh, if it is that you can't now have a ciggy break, does it also mean that you can't use the internet in the company office at lunchtime because that's not work? Therefore, you're stealing the internet bandwidth from the company.
Well, strictly speaking, yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hello, Mark, I love you. Yeah, no, I tell you, no. Sometimes your arguments are you're a nincompoop.
I'll be honest, I was taught by one of the greatest radio presenters in the world who said to me, if the audience says it's black, you say it's white. If they say it's white, you say it's black. It makes for good talk radio. So I'm losing this 2-1 then.
Yeah, me and Mark. Well, I'll tell you what, I think...
You haven't actually stated your position.
But my position?
Yeah.
It's just
being awkward.
No, I don't have a problem with it if it's balanced. And I do agree...
Yeah, everybody who's an alcoholic can go out and have a beer while you go out and have a cigarette.
Yeah.
Anybody who's addicted to cheese sandwiches can go out and have a cheese sandwich. Make it fair and equitable across the world just because somebody smoked too. What if you're addicted to heroin? Do you out and have a quick...
No, exactly. But
you dare having a cigarette? No, you don't. It's a special dispensation for people who've got bad breath.
And if it is that you want to drink water, you can't drink it at your desk. It's not safe.
Of course, why not?
Of course
you can. You can knock. All right. What happens if you...
No, because you could spill it on your keyboard and blow up your computer, and that would cost you firm thousands. So quite rightly,
well, you could use one of these beakers that you could just sort of suck through the straw or something like that. But I mean, smoking. You know, I mean, listen, I got no problem with smokers if they promise to put their heads in a plastic bag and to absorb and keep within themselves 100% of all the smoke. Then they can smoke to their heart's content, and it will soon be the end of the problem.
Right.
That is disgusting.
It is, isn't it?
I
best thing not to stop. I'm afraid so.
Have you?
Well, I still have a dalliance now and again. I must admit, I stopped
smoking when I adopted my children.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Good for them, actually.
Well, yeah, good for them as well.
Yeah.
Does it make me a bad person then, considering for nearly 10 years of my life I used to sell cigarettes?
No, it doesn't, Eric.
Beep.
Oh, they.
I used to buy them. No, it doesn't make you a bad person because it's going back to what we were saying about Facebook. At that time, you didn't really know what damage these things would do to people.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with that. But anyway, I think William Nunn's probably one of these people who've given up smoking and just whinges on about it. I'm gonna lose this one 2-1, I am sure, as well, because apparently a bronze sculpture of a nude woman seen from the back by some geezer called Matisse, has reached nearly $50 million and set an auction record for the French. How do you say that in French, Mark?
Nudito?
No, Matisse.
Oh, Matisse.
You talk.
I'll tell you what we're like. What? We're like a geriatric boy band. It's Matisse.
Oh, Matisse.
Both of you fucking Philistine corner.
Well, apparently this thing by Matisse is a bronze sculpture, and I've seen the picture of it, and to be honest, you might as well go to your local supermarket, ask your girlfriend to take her down, and just cover her in bronze suntan lotion. It's rubbish.
I'm going to try
which I do often.
Oh, my word. Talking of nudity, didn't know this. A nude painting of Sir Sean Connery, 007, has been discovered in a Scottish Borders artist's unseen collection. I bet somebody's rubbing their hands with glee here. Apparently, this was painted in 1951 when James Bond, the star, was unknown to everybody. And Sir Sean was working as, a nude model for Edinburgh students.
Absolutely. And you know what, Eric? What? I have to say at this point that this story is wrong.
Why?
Because I've seen this picture. I saw it maybe 10, 12 years ago. Uh-huh. There was a story carried when I was working on the Daily Mirror, and we carried the story.
Really?
Yes.
Are you telling me someone's fraudulently sending me stuff?
I don't think it's fraudulent. I think they just haven't done the research
properly. The homework.
I apologise to whoever's done that. I'm not being nasty, because stories do get regurgitated, but I have seen this picture. Good story. Well done.
I mean, if he was working as a new model, maybe there are more than one painting. Maybe lots of people painted his...
bottom.
his nude dough.
Oh, sure. Back on the serious stuff, as Lee mentioned a little bit earlier in part one, there's been some proposals or the typical speak from a politician, which means that we don't know whether it's going to be real or not, to change net laws. And I have to say, I am vehemently against this, totally and utterly and vehemently against it. What the Prime Minister David Cameron of the UK is suggesting is that Britain's intellectual property laws should be modified a bit to make them fit the internet age. And it would, kind of the way I'm seeing it, bring them in line with the US, and apologies to US listeners. But the way it works in America is you have this fair use system, which means you can steal bits as long as you don't make any tremendous amounts of money from it, and use little clips in programs.
Unbelievable.
Which somebody's actually, you know, used and created, and it's just barking mad for me to think that you can't do it. And I'll qualify that a little bit, because Mark lives in France, and there's different copyright laws in France, for example.
Well, I'm going to disagree there, actually, because, I mean, by and large, the copyright laws have been harmonised worldwide because of something called the Berne Convention, which even the United States is now a signatory to. Mm-hmm. And although they've got fair use there, I mean, I think that we have an equivalency in terms of, you know, you're allowed to use sort of limited extracts and so forth, providing you're not exploiting for economic purposes and what have you. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what the big difference is. And I think really, you know, I'd be interested to see what the actual proposals are.
Well, I can help you a little bit because... Hang on, Lee, I can help you a little bit because in musical terms, for example, on the radio, there's a different system in the UK... And it is different to most areas of Europe. And it goes to this sort of up to, I think it's something like 20-second clips, which in France you can use. And in the UK, you couldn't use in the same way because it would be a breach of intellectual property laws in the UK, which it isn't in France. And this goes all the way back to my first days of Radio Luxembourg and going, how do you do that? And they said, oh, we can here, mate, because it's a different set of laws to the UK. So there are slight differences throughout the EU. And if he's trying to bring all that into play, it could be that you've got... And where I say this is really wrong, if it was, you know, Diana Ross, simply the best song, and you nick 20 seconds of that, people are going to jump up and down and be incredibly upset. Where the problem comes in is where you've got a lesser known or maybe an upcoming struggling artist who's got a great little riff within a song. Somebody puts it in as a promo. They get no money for it under one system in Europe. In other parts of Europe, they do get money. And so
two points on this.
Go on then, Lee.
Well, the first one is that really, based on your own argument before and previously, that the artist itself should be aware of what they are actually allowing to go out on that basis. In Britain, you're allowed to use two sentences from a book, to quote from a book to illustrate a point. You're not allowed to do anything else. Mm-hmm. But what actually happens now, and this is what this is all about, is that people put their works of art on the internet and then wonder why people are nicking it. Copyright is all an artist owns. An artist doesn't own anything else. Copyright is the one thing they've got. And this, if this lessens, if this weakens the copyright laws, which it almost certainly will, it's going to be devastating for artists. I put a lot of stuff on the internet, written stuff, but I put nothing on the internet that ultimately is stuff that I want to use in my greater works. I put stuff on that I just want people to see.
I'm just warning you, boys and girls, I'm about to have a slurp of very hot tea. If I burn myself, I'm going to sue you two.
Put your hand over your gentleman's sausage.
Bleep.
Moving along quickly, and this is another story that's really annoyed me this week. Big thing in the UK newspapers that prisoners could, due to some EU rules, be allowed to vote. What? Yeah. Hello?
I'm not saying anything about this until you've all said your bits.
Well,
right. I read a report and I which I thought was very, very interesting, and that I can't remember, but it was an organisation, I can't remember which organisation, but they're concerned with sort of, you know, the quality of prison and the effectiveness of prison and so forth. And they were saying that actually maybe this is not a bad thing, because what it does is it starts to help to integrate some prisoners back into society and start to give them a responsibility and a stake in the society that they're being moved back into. And actually, that was a very attractive argument to me.
That's attractive to me as well. But what happens when you've got somebody who's in there for rape, murder, in it for a life sentence, who's never going to come out? Why should they have the vote?
Well, Eric, why are they not allowed a political opinion?
Yeah, they can have one. You know,
it's always been a part of the punishment in Britain, but really, it's just an absolute infringement of civil liberties. Now, I'm not saying that the crimes these people have committed are not infringements of everybody else's civil liberties.
Correct.
But just because you're a criminal, why are you not allowed to vote? They say it's because you don't have a permanent home. Well, you do. You're living in it. When you're in prison, it's called a cell.
No, if you want, what tends to happen, not because I've been in for the wrong reasons, but I used to help out with some people.
I've helped out in prison now and again.
If you want to go to one of Her Majesty's hotels, the chances are you'll get moved around a lot, and that is a bit of a problem sometimes for people.
Well, you can have a vote abroad. You know, if people who move abroad can have postal votes, so can prisoners. Prisoners have got every right to vote. You know,
I don't think it's
an inalienable right. Why? Because you've committed some horrendous crime. Does that say you can't have an opinion on the world, per se?
But you're not going to live in that world. So what gives you the right to talk about it, make a decision about it?
I think one has to say that, I mean, the government of the day can affect actually your prison conditions and the way you're treated. I mean, I think that's quite important. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine, for instance, that something happened and there was a new vote, for instance, on the death penalty.
Sure.
Well, presumably, I mean, as you hadn't been given the death penalty, you wouldn't be back on it. But on the other hand, you know, it does actually then become a terrifically important issue for you.
Well, yeah,
but
slightly,
the same as being on the outside. That issue is just as important on the outside. Well, you must have a right to vote. Even if you're on death row, why haven't you got a right to vote on whether Britain should have a death sentence or not? Actually, you've probably got more experience than anybody else, and more knowledge, and have thought it through.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with
you. Are we doing that agreeing thing again?
Yeah. Now, well, I actually threw me tuppence in, and it was something I did actually speak to some people at the British Embassy in Slovakia, and somebody said, oh, are you going to vote? I said, no, I'm not. I don't believe that I should be in a position to even vote on the British Parliament because I'm actually nothing to do with the British system anymore. And even though I hold a British passport and, you know, I always want to do that, I don't think it's right for me to actually even make the modicum of influence that I would have with a vote on a country that I have absolutely no intention of going back to and or being affected with the outcome of the vote. I think it's the same as this malarkey over in a state in India where all these people vote. They're never, ever going to live in the UK. They should be banned from voting.
Actually, I mean, that raises an interesting point because what's the law in other countries? And do foreign nationals who are in British prisons have a postal vote in respect of their own national elections?
I'll have to find that out.
Sorry, I was just saying, I wonder who could tell us that, because that's a really interesting point, actually, yeah.
I know a man...
I'm sure they don't.
I know a man that can answer the question, and I'll find out for next week for you guys.
It'd be interesting to know whether, for instance, the French or the Germans, prisoners who are in British prisons, are able to vote for in German or French elections.
Well, I do know that the way in which, for example, earlier this year, when it was the general election in Slovakia, the significant difference this year of not necessarily saying which way you should vote if you're living outside the country, but to actually encourage you just to vote, although you were living outside the country, was phenomenal. Every politician was urging people living abroad or in foreign states to actually vote in the Slovak election. And I have to say, if you've made your roots in Ireland or England and have no intention, in fact, if you're not coming back for 4 years, I don't think you have the right to even try and influence what's going on. I really don't.
I just think that's wrong. I think the simple fact is you decided that you wouldn't vote in English elections, and that's fine. But everybody's got to have the freedom of choice. That's what civil liberty is about. It's about freedom of choice and doing what you feel is the best thing that you can do. And I think Mark's comment right at the beginning is perfectly right. I do think there's a lot of fuddy-duddiness talks about rehabilitation, and I'm not sure that just by giving somebody a vote that will help to rehabilitate them greatly, but it actually gives a sense of responsibility and a sense of feeling that you actually still belong within society.
Let's move on to something funny as we get towards the end of the programme, boys and girls. Apparently a teenager dressed as a... How do you dress as a mobile breathalyser for Halloween?
You've not seen the pictures of it.
No, has been arrested for... drink driving. A Nebraska teenager was pulled over on his way home, and Matthew Neven, 19, of Lincoln, was arrested for driving under the influence and being a minor in possession of alcohol. I bet that's shocking a few people. 19, alcohol in possession. Commonplace everywhere else. The police watched him drive his Ford pickup rather erratically, and he was well over the state limit, shall we say.
How can you drive your wagon not erratically when you're dressed up as a breathalyzer?
Yeah, well, how old do you have to be to walk around with alcohol in France, Mark?
I don't know. I think it's probably 18. I mean, I imagine that's the European standard. But I think that there are lots of places in the States where it is 21.
It is?
You know, surprisingly.
Right, no, I know from... We went to... don't laugh. No, Lee will be happy. I'm not. We went to the Grand Ole Opry itself one week with a bunch of people. And my secretary at the time was a very young-looking lady. She was about 26. And she looked about 18, genuinely looked a lot younger than she was. And she had to get her ID out in America to prove that she was over 21, namely her passport. Otherwise, they weren't actually going to let her in because it was an alcohol-based place that we were going to. So in the States, it's you know, typically 21. But I can't think of anywhere in Europe where it's higher than 18. Not sure.
I can't. There is a ludicrous law over here, you know.
What's that?
Where if you want to buy alcohol from a supermarket, you have to prove you're 24.
Eh?
Well,
yes, I've heard that as well.
If you look under 24, you can be challenged. Now, I think this is despicable because it's people on the minimum wage working behind a shop counter who have to do this challenging. And if you look below 24, they ask you for your identity. Well, the law says you've got to be 18, not 24.
Yeah, I know, but the trouble is that for getting it wrong, it's very unforgiving, and I think it's quite strict liability. In other words, even if the, you know, even if the kid looks like an old man, if it turns out he's 17, then the company, the shop is banged to rights. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to put it in a buff
with it. But that is not, why should that be a shop girl's responsibility?
Well, that I quite
kind
agree.
Of situation.
I'll bet and you also, they pick up some abuse and some flack.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course they do, because they're also stopped from serving glue and stuff like that. And they have to challenge people all the time over these things. It's despicable. Mm. But going back to your point, it's dead simple. What if you want to claim your pension, if you're a woman, you want to claim your pension at 65, and they say, sorry, you can't have it because you don't look 70?
Well, well, there's one consolation
for
you,
Lee.
Very
good analogy, actually.
Summed
it up in a nutshell.
Look at Lee's picture, Mark, and all I can say is he's not going to have that problem when he's 65.
I hate you now.
He ain't going to have that problem whatsoever. Very quickly, we move on to the final subject as we get to the end of the show. This is one of Lee's. He's saying here, has the world gone completely TV mad? Apparently, TV magazines are selling in the UK much bigger than Lee's favourite newspapers. For example, What's on TV reaches 3.4 million people, Radio Times 2.6 million people, and if you look at other monthly magazines like the Sky magazine, now the Sky magazine's a bit cheating because it goes all over the place anyway, there's actually 7.5 million of those issued. And of course, the great Top Gear, the only motoring program on the planet, presented by three very sensible people, reaches 1.9 million homes every month. Doesn't say a lot for what they're putting in newspapers, does it?
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's just the tragic myopic attitude that the population of the UK generally has to entertainment and being alive.
Mark, when was the last time you bought a TV mag?
Oh, well, I don't get French TV mags.
No, but, I mean...
Don't you get French letters, though?
He's so predictable.
I get Freesat television here, which probably is a breach of copyright, I suppose.
Yes.
Because I'm just...
I'm glad you just told 3 million people that.
Marvellous.
The overspill on the satellite footprint. And I find out what's on the television by simply looking at the internet. I haven't bought a TV mag in years and years and years.
I just don't see why people even need to buy a magazine.
I don't, honestly. That's 50% of the magazine sales in the UK today are to do with television. That's unbelievable to me.
But there's an electronic program guide.
It's what, sorry?
There's an electronic program guide, the EPG.
Yeah, but that's rubbish, isn't it? They don't even tell you what year a film was made or who was in it, and most of the time it just says no information anyway.
I don't see it. I mean, I can understand the benefit of buying BBC's Top Gear magazine. I can see the point.
Because that's a different thing, isn't it? But it's still within that thing. Yeah, I agree. Sorry, carry on there.
Well, that's about it, boys and girls. Because we're right at the end of Postcard from Pop Rad. If you want to find out more about Lee Banks, have a look at Ghost Hunter TV on Blogspot. If you want to see work from young Mark, go to the consumeractiongroup.com, I think. Is it .co.uk?
Yeah, .com or .co.uk.
Doesn't matter.
Or .mobi. M-O-B-I, if you're on your mobile.
Yes, absolutely, as that is going big time now.
As in Moby Dick.
As in Moby...
Yeah, bleep. We'll see you next week, boys and girls. Take care, bye-bye.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.